Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Well, let me ask you some questions here. How do you save somebody who is drowning? Give them CPR if they have heart just stopped, they're not breathing. What else can you do if somebody's drowning? What do? You see somebody drowning? Pardon? Call a lifeguard, yeah? Throw them a life preserver. Sure. How do you save somebody who is starving to death? Give them food. Feed them, yeah. How do you save someone who is sick or injured? Take them to the hospital. Yes, absolutely. How do you save someone who is freezing to death? Coat, blanket, get them into some heat, some shelter. Yes. How do you save someone who is choking? Heimlich maneuver or, you know, the emergency tracheotomy. How do you save someone who is lost, a sinner? Tell them about Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. You know, when I went into seminary, I've had all kind of warnings from everybody. Whole seminary is going to tear your faith down and make you think some crazy things, and you're just not going to be the same. Well, I had a pretty high Christology when I was going to seminary. In other words, I believed that Jesus was everything. Now, when I went into seminary, I started to think about the unconscious Christian, people who didn't realize that they were being Christians, but they were being Christians. And then I read that verse. I don't know what point it was in my seminary experience, but I read that verse, Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else. In no one else. I don't care how good you are or not. Don't care where you're coming from, what part of the world you live in. Don't care what you dress like or look like. Jesus is the only way. The Word of God makes that clear. The salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13 says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now the tax collectors and sinners, well, they were the scum of the earth. Tax collectors, everybody hated tax collectors. They collected more than their fair share of money off their people, the Jews. And they were used by the Romans, so the Romans hated them. Nobody liked the tax collectors. They were on the bottom rung of society, right down there with shepherds. And then there were the sinners. Now, I thought about that. And sinners. As compared to what? And when you look at the parable, it dawned on me, the sinners refer to people who are unchurched. Because if you were in church at that time, in the temple, you went to the Day of Atonement. And you made sacrifices to pay for your sins. So you were not considered a sinner in the eyes of the church. So sinners were people who did not go to the temple. So the sheep, the 100 sheep, one gets lost. The other 99, they don't need to be saved. They're the righteous. They're us. They're Christians. No need to repent because they already have Jesus in their lives. That one wanders off into a world where there is pitfalls and wild animals, floods, mud, you name it. Fires, this sheep is in trouble. They're lost. And that shepherd goes after that sheep, does whatever it takes to bring that sheep back home. That woman lost one silver coin out of the 10 that she had. Now, that's all she had was 10 silver coins. She's on a tight budget, and that one silver coin means a lot to her. And so she does whatever it takes to find it. Says that she lit a light and she swept the whole house and she searched very carefully until she found that other silver coin. Now, in both cases, with the sheep, with the coin, it says this phrase, in the same way. And if you look that up, it says that the shepherd rejoiced with his friends about finding the sheep. The woman rejoiced with her friends about finding the coin. In the same way, the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents and is saved. Boy, what's exciting about that is that you and I have the power to make the angels in heaven partay. We can do that when we go out and tell somebody about Jesus. When we do whatever it takes to convince them they need Jesus. The Pharisees, they were there too, but they weren't there to hear what Jesus had to say. They were there as spectators to see what Jesus was going to do. And they muttered. They muttered to one another. Look at him. Look at Jesus. Hanging out. He welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Mutter, mutter, mutter. Now, Bonnie mutters to me and then she blames my hearing. She says I mutter to her and I blame her hearing. This is getting old grand, dear. Isn't it wonderful? But these Pharisees and teachers of the law were muttering because they thought Jesus was wrong. And that's why Jesus told them the parable. It is so important for us to go out and seek that which is lost. To do whatever it takes to find those who are lost. Let me tell you this. Say you're out one night taking a walk with your dog or your cat or your ferret or hamster or whatever. It's after dark. You're strolling down the road and you come past your neighbor's house. All the lights are on. The music's blaring. Driveway's full of cars. There's cars parked in the yard. Big picture window with the drapes all pulled back. And you can see them in there dancing and having a good time and they're just having a wonderful party. What's the first thing you say to your dog? Why didn't they invite me? But then you're about to leave, and as you're walking past the house, you glance up at the top of the house, and you see the dormer on the roof where the attic's at. There's a light dancing in the window. And you stop, and as you look, all of a sudden the glass breaks out. Smoke comes pouring out of the upper room along with flames. Well, the attic's on fire. And you look back at the living room. You can see in through that big picture window. And you see people out on the porch. They're out there just dancing, having a good time. What do? You tell them. You warn them. You go back over there. You go up, knock on the door. And you tell them you saw flames coming out of the attic. Now, if they're too drunk, having too much of a good time, they don't believe you, they refuse to leave, what do then? Call 911. What else do? Well, you pray for them. What else do? The flames are spreading. Get them out. You get them out. You do whatever it takes. Grab them by the hair in their head. Drag them out of the house. Push them out of the house. Chase them out with something. You do whatever it takes to save their lives. Shortly after we moved into Rogersville in 1993, when we first began the ministry, I was 37 years old. I was going to Waynesburg College. I don't know what year it was. Say 96, just guessing. I'm sitting in my office at home, 11:30 Saturday night, working on my sermon. Going over it, and looking at different things. And Bonnie was sitting out in the living room watching TV. Our kids were in bed. And I heard a commotion outside. And I thought there must be some kids outside or something. And then I heard breaking glass. And I thought, now what is that? And I was about to get up when Bonnie come running in the office, barefoot as she usually is. She says, Scotty's house is on fire right across the alley, right across the road from us, from here to those windows. It's on fire. She goes, the attic, flames are shooting everywhere. She said, call 911. And as I called 911, she ran across the street and pounded on his door. They were all in bed. Scotty and his wife and three little girls. And Scotty came to the door and he was like, what? What are you talking about? And she's trying to convince him that the house is on fire. Did you have to bring him outside, show him the flames? Or brought him outside, showed him the flames, and then they went in the house and they got his wife and girls out. The flames were just coming through the closet in the one little girl's room. The fire company was just around the corner. Rogersville's a little community. They come over and they put the fire out. It burned through the roof, but they got the fire out in the attic. And, of course, all the water damage. And we formed a brigade from the house over to the church, which was right next door to us, and all the local people, and we got a lot of furniture out. But literally, she saved their lives. Quick action, quick thinking, and determination. What good is it to save somebody's physical life if we don't save their soul? What good is it if a person gains the whole world but loses their soul? It's no good. It's not. Revelation, chapter 20, verses 13, 14, and 15. Listen to this word of God. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead, and each one was judged according to his deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was found whose name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into that lake of fire also. So the dead will rise and be judged according to their deeds. Not, they're not be saved by their works. Because if in those deeds there's no mention of Jesus, they're going into the lake of fire. The only way you get your name written in the book of life is by believing in Jesus in this life. Revelation 21:8 says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this sounds like 2 weeks ago when I was preaching on hell, fire, and damnation. The only difference is I'm not trying to scare you, give you information to use about hell. What I want to do today is to convince us that you and I need to get busy. And we need to do, like the shepherd and the woman, we need to do whatever it takes to find those who are lost. Not to wait for them to come to us. Not to leave it up to somebody else. Because my brothers and sisters, you and I both know we are surrounded by people who are lost. Not just unchurched, but lost, who don't really know Jesus. Their house is on fire, and they don't know it. Everybody dies that second death. That everybody dies once. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto us once to die. The second death is for those who don't believe in Jesus. Eternal life is for those who do. What are we willing to do to snatch people from the fire? It says in Jude, by the way, is that book in the Bible that comes right before the book of Revelation. Jude doesn't have any chapters. It's just one big chapter itself. Jude verses 17 to 23 says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." Now listen to this. "Be merciful to them who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, which is respect, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." Snatch people from the fire. Do whatever it takes to convince people that they need Jesus and that Jesus is the only way, that there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. They've got to do it. Time is growing short, shorter for some of us than others. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." You are an ambassador of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. This is a family of ambassadors of Christ. Peggy, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are an ambassador of Christ. All of you. You are all ambassadors of Christ. When you leave this place and go out, no matter where you go and what you do, you carry the authority of the Word of God with you. And you have a obligation to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. You have an obligation because you are an ambassador of Christ. You are ambassadors of Christ. That's what the Word of God says. It says that we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, those of you that don't know Jesus, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, there's nothing more important that you'll do in life, like we were telling the kids, than to save a soul. And when you go out and you witness to somebody and you tell them the best way you can, whether you think it's good or not, you just do the best you can. And you tell people, your house is on fire, man. What do you mean by that, my house is on fire? Well, there's a lake of fire and brimstone that you're going to go into if you don't have Jesus in your life. I don't know that I believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it. It's the Word of God. Without Jesus, you're going to die. Well, you're going to die too. Yeah, this body will give up the ghost one day. But I'll live forever in heaven because I've Jesus. See, always remember, my favorite phrase again, one of them. We are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And the reality is going to smack us in the face one day. Because he's coming back. So in the meantime, spread the word to your neighbors, your family, your co-workers. Tell them about Jesus. So what if they think you're a fanatic? So what if they're scoffers like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Tell people the good news that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. Tell them that. Because their house is on fire. God loves you, and so do I. Let's...